Sidra. Already, Sidra preferred Coriel's dark side. It was a curious astronomical phenomenon, a planet tidally locked with its sun, a moon tidally locked with its planet, each with a day and night that never shifted across their respective surfaces. Sidra was grateful for it. The lack of natural light meant there was only so far she could see, and that meant there was less to process. The undersea had risen up above the ground, traveling relatively more slowly through a tube supported by thick columns. The tube ran through multiple districts, as Blue explained. Sidra made a note to find a way to explore them in a slower mode of transportation, perhaps on foot once she adjusted to the kit. But even zipping past, she could see that the distinctions separating districts were stark. The dark side was where Coriel's merchants sought refuge from the bright bustle of the marketplace. There were districts there, too, but from what Blue had told her, the distinctions were based on wares and services. Here, the lines drawn were quite different. The first district they passed through was Tassara Cliffs, home to the wealthy and well-off, ship dealers mostly, Blue said, and fuel merchants, too. The homes there were hidden behind artful walls and sculpted rock, but she could tell they were large and impeccably cared for. Next, Kukesh, the Andrisk district, a cozy sprawl of single-story homes with welcoming doors and few windows. There was an invisible but unmistakable border between there and Flat Rock Bay, a name no one but tourists and maps used. This is the Bruise, Blue said quietly. Not a good place to hang out. It's where folks end up if they got dealt a bad hand. As they passed through the station there, Sidra saw the weary faces of a family of Akaraks digging through a trash receptacle with the help of their badly dented mech suits. It was a troubling sight, and Sidra found other things to process as quickly as she could. At last, they reached the Modder district, Six Top. The name was a pun, a reference to both the six small hills the homes were tucked around and Six Top circuits, a ubiquitous mech tech component. Sidra didn't know what to expect of the place, but what she saw upon exiting the undersea was surprisingly organic in aesthetic for a multi-species community of tech lovers. Yes, the signs of its inhabitants' various trades were obvious. Personal power generators, empty fuel drums, receivers and transmitters of all kinds. But likewise, there were lovingly tended strips of plant life, basking under sun lamps, and glowing fountains that glittered in the dark. There were sculptures made of scrap, smooth benches utilized by chatting friends and amorous couples, soft lighting fixtures that looked like the pet projects of individuals with disparate senses of style. There was nothing bureaucratic or single-minded about the public decor. This was a place built by many. She saw a food shop, a gaming bar, a few vendors of this and that. There was a quiet slowness here, absent in what she'd seen of the light side. Perhaps modders got enough flash and bustle in their day jobs. Perhaps they, too, needed a place to unplug. The smooth path leading from the undersea station was curved, branching out like a river into the clusters of homes beyond. The dwellings themselves were low to the ground, nothing over 2 stories tall, and rounded at the edges, like someone had molded them out of handfuls of something. She didn't have any stored files on building materials, yet another thing to download. "Watch your step," Blue said. Sidra moved her gaze down to see a gauzy winged insect right below where the kit's right foot would have fallen. She had no information on the species, but it was beautiful, whatever it was. The wings were thick and fuzzy, and luminescent patches along its thorax pulsed with gentle light. She stepped safely aside, glad to have avoided it. The idea of killing something, even if by accident, especially by accident, was unsettling. "We keep things dim here, to keep light pollution down," Pepper said. "It's kind of hard to see what's in front of you sometimes, but you get used to it." She considered something. "Though I guess you could just, you know, adjust your light intake. Might make it easier." She led the way forward and reached her hand back. Blue took it. He fell in step beside her. Sidra did not adjust her light intake. She wanted to see the neighborhood as her companions did. The dim light Pepper spoke of came from hovering blue globes, situated here and there along the path. They bobbed slightly, buoyed by unseen energy. Below them, night-blooming moss and chubby mushrooms lined the edges of the path. More of the winged insects clustered there, their lighted sides illuminating the veins of the leaves as they searched for nectar. Sidra looked ahead and around. She could see sapients behind windows, silhouetted as they ate and cleaned and spoke. A trio of Andrus catchlings chased each other around a fountain, shouting in a haphazard melange of clip and reskitkish. A Harmagian whirled by on her cart, waving her heavily pierced dactyli at Pepper and Blue in an approximation of the human greeting. The humans returned the gesture with their free palms. Sidra couldn't say why, but frayed as she still was, something about Sixtop made her relax. They approached a modestly sized dwelling, not much different from the others. The plants around the outer walls were overgrown, a little forgotten. Pepper approached the door and swiped her wrist over the locking panel. The lights inside switched on, and the door slid back. "Welcome home," Pepper said. Sidra watched Pepper and Blue carefully as they entered the building. She wasn't sure what the correct protocol was here, and she didn't want to do anything impolite. They removed their shoes, so did she. They hung their jackets, so did she. And then what? What did a person do inside a house? "Make yourself comfortable," Blue said. That did not answer her question. Pepper caught Sidra's silence. "Just take a look around," she said. "Explore. Get used to the place." She turned to Blue. "I am hungry. We've got leftover noodles in the Stacy, but I don't think there's enough for three. She doesn't need to eat." "Oh, right. Right. Well, then we've got enough." "You missed the part where I am hungry," Pepper said, balling her hands into pleading fists. "I don't want noodles. I want protein. I want something that will stick in my belly and make me regret it later." Sidra moved the kit through the room as the humans discussed dinner. It was not a big home, nor one that gave the impression of wealth. The main room was a round, soft-looking space with a cooking area branching off to the side. The walls were lined with shelves, straining under the weight of bins of spare parts, pixel plants, and kitschy knickknacks. Judging by the cluttered work table stationed by a broad window, Pepper liked to bring her work home with her. Sidra approached one of the shelves, which was devoted solely to figurines, palm-sized little people, all screaming with color. "Ah," Pepper said with a grin, "yeah. I'm really into Sims. Non-realistics, specifically." "And these are characters from them?" "Yeah. See, there's Milo and Buster, Scorch Squad, Eris Redstone. Fun stuff all around." Sidra made the kit pick up one of the figurines. It was a group of three characters, two human children, a boy and a girl, and some kind of small anthropomorphized primate. The boy was examining a leaf with a microscope. The girl was looking up with a telescope. The primate was reaching into an open satchel full of snacks. All had enormous open-mouthed smiles. "You seem to favor these three," Sidra said. The characters appeared multiple times on the shelf, in various styles and sizes. She examined the base of the figurine in the kit's hand. Big Bug Bash 36. it read in loud yellow letters. Do'u Mu, Exodus Fleet, GC Standard, 302. Pepper's eyes widened. Holy shit. You don't know the big bug crew. Of course you don't. She took the figurine from the kit's hand. Her eyes closed reverently. Big bug. Oh, man, it's... Blue sighed with a smirk as he scrolled through something on his scrib. Here she goes. Pepper gathered herself. It's a kid's sim. I mean, yeah, okay, it's for kids technically. Educational thing, you know? Let's learn about ships and other species and whatever. But it's... Blue made eye contact with Sidra and started mouthing words. It's so much more. It's so much more than that, Pepper said. This franchise has been putting out new modules for 40 standards. Aside from the fact that it's brilliant, stars, don't even get me started on the adaptive coding. I mean, seriously, it's a really important series. Every human kid in the GC knows Big Bug, at least passively. And I don't mean every human kid in the fleet or something. She pointed at the two children on the figurine. Alain and Manjiri. Manjiri's from the fleet. Alain's from Florence. She looked expectantly at Sidra, as if this would have some significance. It did not. Pepper plowed on. This was the very first kid sim to have an Exodon and a Martian not just occupying the same ship, but being friends, having adventures, working as a team, all that fuzzy stuff. That may not seem like a big deal today, but 40 standards ago, that was huge. A whole generation of kids grew up with this, and I shit you not, about 10 standards later, you start seeing a big shift in diaspora politics. I'm not saying this sim is solely responsible for Exodons and Solons not hating each other anymore, but Big Bug was definitely a contributing factor in helping us start moving past all that old Earth bullshit. Open some minds, at least. She placed the figurine back on the shelf, straightening it just so. Plus, the artwork is fucking gorgeous. The level of detail is just... Blue cleared his throat loudly. Pepper scratched behind her left earlobe with an embarrassed chuckle. It's really, really good. Her partner waved his scrib at her. How about Fleet Fry? Yes, Pepper said. I want my usual. Two of my usual. Seriously? Seriously. Blue laughed. You got it. It took Sidra 2.25 seconds to understand the exchange. Blue was ordering food. She glanced over at the only spotlessly tidy place in sight, the kitchen. She accessed her behavioral reference files. It was possible Pepper and Blue didn't do much cooking. And besides, it had been a long trip, and preparing food was time-consuming work. A little rush of pride flickered through her pathways. She didn't have to ask questions about everything. While he does that, Pepper said, how about I show you your room? It's not much, and I'm sorry about the clutter in there. Didn't have a lot of time to get ready. We'll clean it out and make it yours over the next few days. Sidra followed Pepper up the stairs. Paintings hung on the wall at various intervals. Landscapes, all of them. Less than real, but somehow greater for it. Sidra paused the kit's ascent and examined one. A frozen pond in winter, twin moons clear and crisp overhead. Are these Blue's? Sidra asked. Pepper came back down a step. Yep, he did that one after our vacation on Kep'Toran. Her lips twitched with a private smile. All of these are places we've been together. Sidra opened the file named Human Artistic Practices, which she'd compiled on the shuttle after Pepper had told her Blue was a painter. Does he always use physical media, or does he do digital work as well? Pepper looked amused. Didn't know you were an art lover. Yeah, mostly physical, unless commissioned for something. I'll take you to his shop up in the art district sometime soon. She kept speaking as she continued up the stairs. Took me almost a decade of bothering before he finally started selling his stuff. I'm biased, of course, but he is really good. and I'm glad I'm not the only one who sees it anymore. She reached the top of the stairs and sidestepped a pile of dubiously clean laundry. He's even got a patron of sorts, this old rich Harmagian, algae merchant. I think she's commissioned 4 of his pieces by now. We got a new engine for the shuttle with that. Pepper stepped through an unremarkable doorway, waving the lights on as she entered. It was a room. Sidra didn't know how to quantify it beyond that. How did one place value on a room? She couldn't say if the room was good or not, but it was hers. That was interesting. Pepper rubbed the back of her head, looking apologetic. "It's nothing fancy," she said, "and we've been using it for storage." She nodded at the stacks of crates and boxes, hastily shoved aside to make pathways and openings. "But it's clean, blue cleaned, and he made the bed, too. I don't know if you'll want the bed. I know you don't need to sleep." Pepper pressed her lips together, a little at a loss. "I don't know what a good space for you consists of, but we'll work together to make it comfortable, yeah? We really want you to feel at home here." "Thank you," Sidra said, and she meant it, fully. She didn't know what she wanted in a space either. She swung the head around, trying to take inventory. There was the bed, as mentioned, big enough for 2 if they cuddled close. The covers were thick, to ward off the dark side chill, and the pillows looked inviting. Not knowing what else to do, she approached the bed and pressed the kit's hand into one of the pillows. It sank down in a pleasing sort of way. She turned and tried to assess everything else. There was an empty work desk and a storage cupboard and... She shut the kit's eyes and felt the face grimace. "What's wrong?" Pepper asked. "I don't know if I can explain it." "Try. I'm listening." The kit exhaled. "I'm having trouble processing what I see. That's been the case since installation. I don't mean a malfunction. I mean this is hard. I meant to have cameras up in corners, looking down from above. Only being able to see this," she moved the kit's hands, outlining her field of vision, "is frustrating. It's one thing not being able to see behind a camera in a corner, but feeling empty space behind me and not knowing what's there. It's disconcerting. I don't like it." Pepper put her hands on her hips and looked around. "Well, here." She shoved some boxes aside, pushed the desk into a corner, and made an upward gesture. "There you go." Sidra stared for 2 seconds, then understood. She pulled the kit up onto the desk and backed it into the corner, as far as it would go. The top of the head now occupied the upper corner of the room. "How's that?" Pepper asked. Sidra slowly moved the kit's head from side to side, imagining that she were operating one of the cameras aboard the Wayfarer. Seeing only one room at a time was still limiting, but this perspective... "Good," she said, feeling the kit's limbs loosen. "Oh, that's so helpful." She took in the room for 3 minutes, looking up and down, side to side. "Can I see it from the other corners, too?" Pepper helped her rearrange furniture. They rearranged it again and again, each time creating a new angle Sidra could perch the kit in. When her bedroom had been sufficiently examined, they continued back through the house, dragging crates and tables around, Blue lending a hand with the bigger stuff. Neither of the humans questioned it. Eventually, the food drone arrived, bearing 2 grasshopper burgers, extra pepper sauce, extra onion. 1 order of spicy bean steak skewers. Blue didn't eat animals, Sidra had learned. And some kind of fried vegetable sticks. Pepper and Blue ate their meal cross-legged on the floor as Sidra moved furniture. She was being presumptuous, she knew, but they didn't seem to mind her disrupting their home. And she was too excited by this new way of discovering a space to stop. She navigated the kit around the house again and again, observing from corners, trying out every vantage point, learning all the details. She still felt weird. The kit was still wrong, but she did feel better. Feed source. Unknown. Encryption. 4. Translation. 0. Transcription. 0. Node identifier. Unknown. Scrubman. I've got a Dalu Moore engine, version 6, that's clocking in at about 125.3 vols. It's not bad, but I think it can do better. Any recs for speeding things up? Fluffy Fluffy Cake.
This question has pinch written all over it.
Pinch.
If you've got a Dalu Moore 6, I'm assuming it's got a fuel regulator made by the same manufacturer. Swap it out with the EK530 from Hahaseth instead. It's not cheap, but it'll shave off a good 20 or so vols. Now, theoretically, you could strip out the modulation grid and hot patch the fuel lines straight into the forward intake valve. That's illegal, but that's your call. If you don't know what you're doing, at best, it'll be a hack job piece of junk when you're done. At worst, it'll blow up in your face. Done right, though, it would speed things up considerably. But again, you'd never get license approval with that kind of rig. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just sharing information.
Scrubman. Thanks for explaining. Can anybody else back this up? Fluffy Fluffy Cake.
If Pinch says it's good, you're good.